Who do I follow?
Yeah, what's your favorite hobby Instagram?
There's a guy, so I can't remember anyone's name. I remember their, like, what's the term, avatar?
Okay,
their,
yeah,
their profile
yeah, yeah.
picture.
Yeah.
There's one of this guy, I think it's like a dolphin, a mini painted dolphin.
Painted dolphin, okay.
Anyway, he does like old hammer vignettes, beautifully lit, like.
I love the old hammer.
God,
Instagram shit
kicks
is
ass,
my favorite.
But yeah, he'll do like little like scenes and stories, like 4 or 5 pics at a time.
Yeah.
And be like, this is like a little like thing that's happening on like a Hive world. And he has like, these old Games Workshop minis or just like random other stuff that just like fits aesthetically. And like it's fucking awesome. I really should know his name because then I could like tell people to look it up.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes.
You gotta subscribe to the Patreon
for our Instagrams that we didn't do ourselves.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've been fucking just recently. Like it comes and goes, you know. Like, but the Odgets Hut. That's the dude that I sent you who does like the White Dwarf Battle Report reposts.
Oh yeah, man. Fuck, that's cool.
That shit rules. Because I'm also on like a big like old hammer kick right now.
It's so cool.
Just like a great aesthetic.
Reject modernity, embrace tradition.
Totally. But like, yeah, this dude does like the cool fucking White Dwarf Saturdays, and he just like reposts these cool like battle reports from like the 90s. And like some of them are fucking sick. There was one that I saw that was like a Warhammer fantasy battle, and it was like, I think it was like high elves versus goblins, and the high elves were running a 2000 point list and the goblins were running a 1000 point list. And I think they had some like house rules or like some mission rules and shit to sort of like even that out.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I love that shit.
So we're talking the internet today.
This is Cocked.
Welcome to Cocked.
I'm Campbell.
I'm Connor.
We're down. Yeah. We want to talk about just like hobby internet community at large,
like the internet and like shit like this, like podcasting and stuff. And
yeah, totally.
But so speaking of the internet, I stole all of the White Dwarfs from the internet.
Whoa.
Going back to like the 70s, there's like a massive, allegedly I did this. but if I did do it, it is awesome. Like going back to like 1975, it's like back to when it was a D&D magazine and like was, and just advertising minis that they made. But all of the, cause I guess it's like a proto internet kind of thing. It's like tangentially related. Like one, I stole it from the internet allegedly. So that's connected. And two, it's like, that's where people would get all of their, I mean, obviously like if you wanted to look at minis, it would have to be in a magazine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, I mean, like I think a big part of sort of like the, like White Dwarf Monthly kind of shit, and like a lot of the things that people really, really liked about that have sort of formed a big part of the backbone of a lot of like hobby internet communities. Like just like, oh, here's some fucking cool models that like we've sourced from, like it's not like White Dwarf was always just like people who work for Games Workshop. It was like they would find people who like
from Poland and
yeah
shit.
And
yeah.
And now so like I guess we'll kick off with like Instagram as probably like the internet hobby community that I engage with the most. Is like now I'm just tailoring that to my interests. Taste, where I'm like findings,
like
people
twisted old hammer shit and stuff,
like twisted old hammer shit, or like I'll get a lot of like Tyranid inspiration and shit from like I follow a lot of like modding or like accounts bashing. Like kit bashing and shit, or like the only like Sigmar army that I find has any aesthetic that I really like is Skaven, so I follow like the Skaven hashtag for some cool
yeah,
shit.
But that's,
you know?
Not like they can't, that's not Sigmar that made it cool.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, yeah but like a cool Warhammer before. Fantasy battle or whatever, yeah. Right, but like yeah, sort of taking that kind of the like aesthetic. What I remember the most about like White Dwarfs from when I was a kid was just flipping through and looking at fucking cool pictures, and like
yeah,
that is sort of
but,
like,
man, the old one, like when I was allegedly going through them, there's so much cool shit, like a designer being like, maybe they do this, but I kind of think they probably don't as much. Just a designer being like, hey, I came up with these cool rules for like this one hyper specific thing in the setting.
Right.
And how you can use it. Or like there's a running one where like, I forget who it is on like the classic names, like giving you rules for running crazy campaign settings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that kind of shit is amazing.
Yeah.
But on like Instagram, so we talked about this before. This is like the crux of talking about it, is like how much nicer the 40K and like Warhammer
totally
internet is now than when it used to be like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
And I do think a lot of that has kind of come out of like Instagram being a bigger like thing that people engage with the hobby on. Whereas like, because a lot of it is like a little bit more celebratory of just like, hey, look at this cool thing that I painted. Look at this cool thing that I converted.
Yeah.
And people being really excited about that and engaging about that. Oh, hey, what parts did you use? What?
Well, it's also like it's the only way to use Instagram that doesn't make me feel like an insane person.
Sure. Yeah. You know?
Nobody's talking about anything that they think about the world, which is great, because fuck that.
Yeah.
It's just like cool stuff that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like my experience on Instagram in my regular life is abysmal. It sucks so bad. It's just like schizophrenia inducing.
Mm-hmm.
But hobby Instagram is just awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Because I feel like the rise of Instagram as like a predominant social media, like a lot of the sort of like hobby internet community was based largely around like Reddit or specific hobby
discussion forums,
right? Yeah. Like a Daka Daka or like a Bolter and Chainsword kind of thing.
Which like anytime you got people discussing things, it's gonna stink. Like,
sure, yeah.
It's just conducive, and it's also like it's so okay. So you got two parts to the hobby, right? You got,
yeah.
Painting and modeling and playing.
Yeah.
And if you're, one is a very visual medium and the other is, you know, visual plus other things.
Like yeah.
There's rules, there's competition. And so if you have a medium that's about talking, it's going to bring up all of the worst aspects of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas like if you have a visual medium, you get your satisfaction from just the visual. I think that's why I like Reddit. But then it's like weird because Reddit was awful before too.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Even though Reddit has like you first see an image.
Yeah.
And then there's the discussion secondarily to that. Yeah. You don't really have to engage with the discussion.
Well, I think that like Reddit is kind of in a place right now where it's like a bridge between where like and like, yeah, what you're saying is that like Instagram is a thing that like celebrates the more creative aspects of the hobbies because it is strictly visual.
Yeah.
And that community does seem to be like more overall, like very positive in terms of like, you can reach out to someone and say like, hey, how did you paint that? They'll give you sort of a recipe of like how to do a really good.
Yeah. It's like, shout out to everybody who's nice on that shit.
Yeah. So it rocks.
Cool.
And I think Reddit has the capacity for that because there is like a lot of celebration of just like cool fucking minis on there as well.
Yeah.
But you also do start to get a little bit more into the, like nobody on Instagram is posting like, look at this list I just built. Like,
yeah,
can I get any tips on this like competitive 2000 point list? Which is kind of where you start to get a little bit more like DACA, rulesy and gamey.
Yeah.
But I do think that like, so like, listeners who have heard previous episodes know that we took like a pretty big break from 40K, and in that episode we talked a lot about like the overall community, and like back then Reddit was very much a thing where like I have tried to post like, hey, going for like, I want to play this orc list, here's like sort of the fluff and flavor behind what I'm trying to do, it's not super competitive. And back in the day I would get a lot of people being like, this is terrible, what are you doing, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. And it does seem to me now people, there will always be the subset of people who are like saying like, here's the optimized version of what you want to run. But there does seem to be a lot more sort of latitude for kind of like fun pickup lists or fun fluff lists in a way on Reddit that there wasn't previously. And a lot of the like people posting like, hey, here's my first mini, like what do you think? And people are way more like, hey, that's great, next time try this, as opposed to back in,
like, you should have thrown that, you might as well have burnt it, or
back in the day people just being like, that fucking sucks, or like every single comment was just posting the thin your paints meme, like,
yeah,
you know.
Which is, that's a great meme though, it's so
hilarious
funny. But at the other, like, there's also, as much as I prefer like the place it's at now, part of me, the like combative dickhead part of me, loves DACA and always will.
Sure. Yeah,
I love the like hostile neckbeard gladiator pit that is just like a nerd forum. First of all, like, I think this is why it's this way too, because like that as a medium, that forum, like a forum, an internet forum, does not exist anymore. Like nobody who's 13 is joining a forum. Yeah. Like this is like technology from like 2004. Yeah. So like it's a grognard like thing for old bitter people,
mm-hmm.
or like young bitter people, and it's sick.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's so fun to wind people up and like talk shit. So yeah, I do like that. The Instagram thing, I don't like when the rest of Instagram bleeds over into Instagram. Like people start to post hobby shit in the vein of like, you know, throwing their infographics out and like blah 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 blah.
Right.
Because that really bums me out.
What like what hobby infographics are you seeing? Like what are you, it, like beyond just like here's how to make a wet palette, or are you talking about like,
well, people like people I do see some like moralizing where people are right. like you know, beyond the true thing and the good thing of like, oh, like this is a hobby for everybody, everyone should be welcome and feel, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to see people like call people out, like, because I think maybe I'm just on hobby Instagram too much, but like because a lot of these accounts like have like thousands and thousands of people, and like, you know, it's like, and I think it's also just what happens on social media.
Sure.
Like being like, this guy's a dickhead, and if you know who this person is, blah blah blah. It's,
like, okay. I thought you were gonna say you're seeing some fucking like infographics about like how the Eye of Terror is a metaphor for the Gaza Strip, or yeah. like fucking. Like,
I mean, that's probably coming. That's definitely coming. But on the whole, it's great. But it'll eventually turn. Like, the internet sucks so much that it'll eventually get lame, I think.
I guess. I like, I'm still kind of in that place where I'm just like stoked about the general people just like bumping each other's shit, you know?
That fucking rocks.
Is
yeah.
cool. I really liked the or like still am enjoying the like the Inc28 hashtag.
Yeah, man.
Of just like
all that Mordheim hashtag. That's sick.
Like that's cool, but like Inquisitor 28 as like a thing that doesn't really technically exist, it's like Inquisitor 28 is just like an idea, and I think that is like the most interesting sort of level of like unbridled creativity.
Do you follow
that the hobby
mag?
No,
28 mag is dope. It's a it's like an internet fanzine about Inc 28.
Oh cool.
And
yeah,
there's it's amazing. Like the people submit from like all over, like write articles, really interesting articles.
Oh, that's sick.
And showcases of like crazy stuff, like
yeah,
fully insane stuff. I highly recommend it. It's a great follow.
Nice.
They've done like 4 issues, I think, now.
Okay.
The fourth one just came out. It's really cool.
Sick. Yeah. Yeah. I like the Inquisitor 28 just for the level of like, oh, hey, here's a mini that I made, and like, here's like all of the lore behind it, and like here's the rule set that I'm using for it, right? Yeah. Or like here's the like oh, I'm using this specifically for Stargrave, or I'm using this specifically for like, people are like kind of taking different gaming systems and like homebrewing 40k, like grafting it into it.
Inc28 is like something that could only exist with the internet.
Yeah, and it's like awesome.
An aesthetic tone and vibe that needs to be seen to understand. Like you can't explain. Like it has its, obviously, like this is a, you know, it's aesthetics and comes from Games Workshop and the people who made that setting. But the creativity and like what is and isn't Inc28
mm-hmm.
can, you have to see it to understand it, which is fucking cool.
Totally. Yeah.
And the aspect of like model first, and if you want to play with it, you'll figure out a way to rules wise to make it like work on the tabletop.
Yeah.
And whatever system you're going to use to play it.
Like that's something that feels very much like, if we're talking about sort of like White Dwarf as the genesis of a lot of these things, is like very much a throwback to those sort of like super early, like White Dwarf as hobbyist magazine before it was White Dwarf as catalog for the new Tau models.
Yeah.
Like, it is great. Like, I do really, really appreciate that aspect of it.
The aspect of White Dwarf as I gotta have, like, the same thing as like a punk zine, right? Like, it's like, I need more of this
mm-hmm.
I need to read and learn and like be immersed in more of this, but there's not anything around. So it's like spillover from of enthusiasm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I think that's like what the good part about Instagram is. Like, that's
sure.
It's also that like,
I, you know what I want to see more of? Like, I maybe Instagram isn't like a great medium for this, but like other, like, you know, you could do this really well in like a Reddit post. Like, because the one thing that I'm missing out on is like the written battle reports. Because like, yeah. I love a good YouTube battle report, you know. Yeah. Like Tabletop Tactics is great. I want to shout out my boy Striking Scorpion from back in the day.
There. He's still going, man.
Is he? That's, yeah, dude. That's good. Has he beaten anybody other than his brother? Because that guy has like the best video production, best painted models, amazing, and like worst win loss record, yeah, I've ever seen.
I don't know how a motherfucker loses with 6th edition Eldar. That's
But like, that's some shit that I think like I like would be really fun in more of like the internet community, is more like and a way to in the same way where like I think a lot of the things that I like about like hobby internet right now is like the celebration of the community and like putting people over for like great paint jobs and shit, is like I want to see more cool battle reports of like, hey, like, here's a really fun way to play this game. Here's a rule set that we're testing out. Here's, you know, like, here's a couple of lists that, like, show that you can have fun in a non-optimized competitive way.
I don't know if there's a medium yet that can do that.
I think you could do a fucking sick, like, White Dwarf-style battle report, text and pictures on, like, a Reddit post. So, like, you could totally do that.
But the thing is that, like, Reddit posts are fleeting. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, the platform is not set up for like documented in the same way that like an Instagram account, you can be like, look at this Instagram account and go through all of this person's stuff.
Yeah.
Same with like a YouTube channel. Like, this channel has this content on it. Reddit can't really do that. And I think, I just don't think the platform exists. Like, there's like, I'm trying to think of like how you would do that, like a blog, a forum.
You were saying earlier forums are like a relic of a early internet age. Yeah. Like a blog, dude?
That's what I'm saying. Blog? Yeah, they're not like, they're not.
We're gonna 2022 is gonna be the year of Warhammer Tumblr.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not a usable, popular, modern way of doing that. By the way, blogs are still dope. I follow this blog by a historian at a university in the United States, I can't remember which one, called Acoup, A-C-O-U-P. And
I think it's pronounced Acoup.
I honestly don't know. But it's all like, he's a historian of like the ancient and medieval world, breaking down like fantasy and popular fiction tropes through. This is not interesting to anyone but me, but it's fucking sick.
Anyway, it sounds great. Fucking sell me on this.
It's like breaking down like tropes and analyzing them against like actual history.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking sick for anyone who plays role playing games. It's especially useful.
Cool. Anyway. Okay, hang on. So, because like we've talked very specifically so far about like Warhammer and like modeling hobby internet communities, like, and I feel like the role-playing game side of like the hobby, like, have you interacted with like RPG internet
at all? That
shit
is mostly hyper embarrassing.
It's fucking, really not good, right?
It's super fucking cringy. It's terrible. It's, I don't know if it's because like Dungeons and Dragons as like a product has become so popular that it's just the sheer amount of people you get is more larger.
Like, it's kind of, there's like a element of like
losery. Like, it stinks.
Like, D&D at this point, as much as I still love playing D&D, I have a great time. But like, D&D culturally has like very much fallen into the,
it's
like
an MCU.
Say it's like Marvel, right? Yeah. It's like, it's kind of,
it's just like chunky people with dyed hair and bad beards.
And yeah. Well, it's like, I think the biggest issue with like some when I'm like running games, I will use like you know, D&D Reddit or like the Giant in the Playground forum is really great for like sort of like NPC ideas or encounter ideas. Like you can, you know, like, oh, I'm in this setting and I need like a trap or a fun encounter. Does anyone have any ideas? And people will hit you up with some like really fun, cool shit. It's a great resource to like tap that way. But like something that a lot of people who play role-playing games like haven't figured out yet is that like nobody gives a shit about what happened in your session apart from the people who played that session.
Yeah, fuck.
Like nothing in the world is less interesting
to me. It's like listening to somebody's dream.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
unless you are like a fucking like crew of like four improv comedians based in LA who are currently doing a podcast.
Yeah.
That's the only shit that I want to hear. And even then most of those are really bad.
Yeah, totally.
Like fucking, there's a couple of live play podcasts that are really fun, but like yeah, like the fucking like.
But like seeing Instagram posts that are just
Instagram
like,
posts that are
that
just like
feel when your bag of holding fucking blah blah. It's like,
this,
oh my god, dude.
This one time in a session, I like fuck yeah, off. I don't care at all.
But I do. There is some good content for like OSR stuff, like old school Renaissance. You heard about this? You familiar with this? So like Stars Without Number and Worlds Without Number is an example of this, where it's like taking cues from the original like first and second edition of D&D and just like, modernizing it instead of streamlining it,
right?
Which is like what those games are kind of like geared towards. And there's a lot of good content of people just being like, here's how you do a hex crawl, here's how you do it in a way that will not be boring or drive your players or you as a DM insane.
Yeah.
But that's very much geared towards here's how to make your game of D&D or whatever better, rather than wanking about the culture, the idea of D&D
as
like a personality to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
Which is fucking rough.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that I see a lot. And it's just like with anything, like anytime your personality becomes something that isn't a personality or like coming from you and your soul, it's just fucking rough.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like where I wanted to go with this.
Away from old dudes bitching about shit.
Yeah. I don't know man, like I feel like I need to engage with more like especially as we start to sort of like in real life play RPGs and shit that aren't D&D, like venturing into RPG internet community that is not D&D internet community.
Yeah.
Because like again, yeah, like I think that's a thing where it's like,
so here's what I'm super interested in with the internet is that I found like Discord is awesome and has so much potential for I think campaigns, both RPG and wargaming.
Okay. Like using Discord to facilitate your real-life campaign?
Using Discord as a game platform.
Mm.
Like the platform is what you use to play the game, and the game expanding beyond what happens at the table.
Sure, yep.
So like, and I did this with our buddy Paul. So his character died in our Stars Without Number campaign.
Yep.
And he needed to write a new character. So I like one-on-one through Discord, like RP'd, like DM'd on the side. No one ever saw it but him, how his character got to be where the party would be.
Oh, shit. Okay. So like, yeah, I was like playing in that. We're very much at risk of the thing that I just said was not interesting.
We don't have to talk about this. We don't have to talk about the story. We can talk about like the mechanics of
that,
like.
No, that's cool. Because like I was playing in that and I thought you just told him, you were like, yeah, roll up a character. Here's where you're going to like be, and then we just found him. I didn't realize that you did like a whole side thing.
I did a side thing, and I did it while we were playing that session because we were playing online.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So
okay.
And we kind of cleaned it up in the post game.
Yeah.
But so I was DMing you guys. Paul's character died. I'm not going to bore anyone with the actual story.
Then
they rescued captives in the next room, mm-hmm. and one of them was Paul's new character.
Right.
And so while I was, you guys were having like a downtime because a character had just died. So you were like being amongst yourselves. And I was kind of like, here's the answer to your question. Here's the answer to your question.
Yeah.
But on the side through Discord, I was talking with Paul and being like, okay, you have a pre-rolled character ready to go. Okay, give me 5 points about them. Here's what you would have been doing in the last 3 days. Give me one or two decision points on these three things that'll affect like the state of your character. Who of your friends that were with you at the time have died or are still alive? To give you a little bit of motivation when you land with the party so that your character has like, no, I think we should go to this room instead of this room because my buddy might be in there.
Yeah.
Who was like the pilot of my ship that was captured. That is something that can only be done through Discord and remote DMing.
Yeah.
Not that I think that like remote DMing is better than everyone together, but it, and you can do that kind of shit outside of the session. Like,
yeah.
What I'm really interested in is like, always on game.
Yeah.
Like someone being like between sessions being like, hey, DM, my character wants to do this. What would happen? And just like bang it out like a quick thing that might have consequences or might bring an adventure hook. Cause like that's the thing too. How dope would it be if like, you know, we set up to play our game tomorrow and instead of me bringing an NPC with an adventure hook, fucking Paul comes in and is like, guys, I heard about this.
Right. Like, that's cool.
Dungeon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's sick.
Like that's something that is easier to do with Discord or any kind of like messaging service. But like, I mean, you can do it with fucking text, whatever.
Yeah.
But
well, it's nice to have something there to like facilitate.
Well, everyone's the same thing. Yeah.
So how do you feel about like, this isn't so much like internet hobby community, but like internet as a tool. Like obviously during the pandemic, we've been doing a lot of remote D&D, like I've been doing a lot of D&D on like Roll20 or like we've been using Discord or just like even just like running a session over like Zoom in general, using like MS Paint to draw maps and shit. Like how do you feel about that versus like an in-person kind of like role-playing like experience?
In-person is definitely better because it is a social game and human beings are more social in person. But like in a pinch, like remote's not bad. Like I don't hate it at all. Like I think it's, you know, because it's difficult to get people together. Like you can just knock out 2 hours, 3 hours of role playing on like a Wednesday night.
Dude, it's like
it's fucking nice.
The difference between like getting off work, going home, changing, going out to the thing versus getting off work, going home and sitting down and opening your computer is like it has facilitated. I've been able to do a lot more like role playing through that. And that being said, when we do get together in person, we have our like rare in person sessions. They're fucking great.
Yeah. But like even after the pandemic ends, like, you know, like you can like on a, like I said, like Wednesday night, like you can play a game from like 7 p.m. to 10.
Yeah.
And then you, excuse me, like then you like at 10 p.m. like close your laptop and go to sleep and be ready for work the next morning. Like,
yeah.
Again, it's not as good as real, but like to keep the momentum of a campaign going, because like totally. It's fucking hard to schedule four or five adult human beings getting together is difficult to do.
I also think it's like really helped to facilitate like transitioning like certain groups that I play with away from like hard grid mechanics and like a little bit more into that idea of like theater of the mind role playing,
which is the better way to play role playing games.
Yeah. And like like using just like getting a bunch of people together over Zoom and not having like an actual map or an actual grid or whatever.
Yeah.
There's like a really easy way to introduce that and pretend that it's not the thing you wanted the whole time. Yeah.
You know what it's done for me too as a DM is it's made me better at, because you know we started the Discord that we use and I recommend everyone starts a Discord with their like gaming group for table like wargaming and or role playing. Is as a DM it's made me better at, creating cool documents for the players to interact with. Like we did like that campaign update for the game. Like we had taken a big break from our one campaign and I did a write up with like. And like dragged like art into it and stuff.
Yeah,
and it was
like,
here's an in-universe, like as if it's like a Star Wars crawl at the beginning of
it.
You know what I mean? And it's fun and it gets everyone back into it because you're sharing things and talking constantly.
Yeah.
It rocks.
That, and like, I mean, like we I'm a part of, somebody else has this. I just benefit from it. But like, there's a really, really great like Discord for our local Toronto, like 40K group that has like, what, like 100 people? ish, like
something like that. Yeah, at least 100 people.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, you know, like it's a great way to organize sort of your channels of like, this is, we're going to talk about list building in this channel only, we're going to talk about modeling in this channel only, here's somewhere you can post like pics, here's somewhere you can get like game meetups, here's somewhere you can get, you know, like your buy and sell. And it's like, it is kind of like a little condensed Reddit kind of like just like Toronto wargaming group, which is really, really nice and like definitely facilitates that. Like it's kind of halfway between being like a strictly internet community and a in-person gaming community.
Yes.
It bridges the gap really well.
It allows you to talk about your shared interest, mm-hmm. people you know all the time. But here's the thing I want, like what I really want to do in the summertime, I'm going to try to do this is, like I said, bring back the topic of like using Discord as a platform, as a game in and of itself,
yep.
for campaigns. I'm going to try it with 40K.
Mm-hmm.
I want to DM a 40K campaign.
Sick.
With like a group of people,
mm-hmm.
like five at the minimum, but like maybe 10.
Yeah.
Playing as in universe, like their HQ.
Right.
And do like a strategic level game that happens at on Discord,
mm-hmm.
and then tactical level that happens on a 40K tabletop.
Sick.
So like you play as like you as a Tyranid player would play as the fragment of the hive mind that's interacting with this sector of space. And Tyranids is a bad example because how do you do diplomacy as a Tyranid? But like, so say I'm playing my Space Marines. I'm my chapter master, right? And I have to interact with this at the strategic level of the game, which is where do I commit my resources to what planets to, you know, win the macro game. Also have to talk, like, have to use diplomacy with the Imperium at large through the DM.
Mm-hmm.
I need this unit to win this game. You can't just pay your points and get it.
Right.
You need access to it, and you might have to interact with like the Mechanicum player and give him some kind of resources that allow him, like, you know what I mean?
That's
and
cool.
That kind that level of the game happens on Discord. And then if you're resolving a tactical move on the, at the strategic level, then you play,
cause you could also like
game of 40K.
You could also rope in like a lot of like you could expand that beyond 40K. Say like, oh, like this, you know, you're devoting less resources here, or this is like a less important sort of objective or whatever. So that's going to be like a kill team.
Yep.
This is going to be like a planetary scale. So we're going to do a Battlefleet Gothic.
Exactly.
Like, and you can
kind of Stargrave game is like, you need to send the Inquisition in.
To get
this relic so that, you know, the fucking Inquisition will allow you to have this unit. Or like whatever.
That rocks.
So like, pulling it out, like there's so much potential for that kind of play, and it makes it so much easier because it's always on.
Mm-hmm.
You can always ask a question, you can always talk. It's not like you have to get 10 people in this. Like, you could potentially play the entire campaign and never meet one of the other players for a battle.
Right.
You've still played with them consistently. Just so much potential for that. And like, I want to do it with our role playing stuff too, where like if you end a session in a town,
mm-hmm.
like you can tell me what your character's doing.
Oh my god, that would be sick.
Yeah, and we can role play a thing, and like maybe you get knifed or something, or like find something, or like you find that hook that we were talking about earlier, and then you come back and we could have like a channel where like the party, everyone who discusses in this channel is in character,
right?
So any, like, you know, it's abstracted, you're not necessarily in the same room, but it's mm-hmm. like I found this blah blah blah, and then you're like talking about. And that makes DMing a lot easier too, because then it's like, I know what the party wants to do next session and is excited about. So I can prep that, and that's going to pay off more. I don't have to like, because when you're DMing, like sometimes, and you know this, like you come up with the idea of the next session.
Yeah.
And you essentially pitch it to the party, to the players in the first like
five minutes of the game.
And they're like, no. Okay, I guess we'll do that. Like, but if you know what they're excited about, and this is why like everyone should ask their players what they want to do next time at the end of their session. But if you know that they're excited about something, you can tailor it to what they're interested in, and they'll be way more engaged, and everyone just has like a better time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Oh, that sounds great. That's like not really internet shit, but like one of my biggest things. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's terrible, but like having role play encounters with shopkeepers and shit in town can be like really fun, but can also be like one person talking to the DM while everybody else sits around and waits to go to the next shop.
Yeah.
Like,
so you know how you do that? You do it. And this is how everyone, well, not everyone. This is how I do. And I think it's a really good way to do that kind of down stuff. Is you gotta like cut between scenes.
Yeah.
And also like have the shopkeeper, like, first of all, if they're just gonna buy something that they don't, that they're gonna just get it, don't even have them role play with the shop. Just be like, you find it for this much.
Yeah.
But if you wanna have like, the shopkeeper doesn't have everything.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe they need a task done or something, then you cut. You'd be like, the shopkeeper's a bad example, but. The party's in different places.
Yeah.
You cut, and you cut exactly when a problem is presented to the player.
So let them figure it out while you're doing your...
Yeah. And also put a little bit of a cliffhanger on whatever's going on. Then you go to the other person.
Yeah.
And I find that that keeps everybody engaged.
Sure.
A lot.
But doing that through Discord, like, or like using the internet as a resource to sort of facilitate those things that don't necessarily need to be like... everybody in the same room at the same time, you know. Yeah. Like, it's that thing, it's, oh, I'm really devoting 3 hours of my Wednesday night to watch like one person try and haggle to buy a sword, like, kind of shit. Like,
well, I think too that you got to do with the cutting stuff is you have to tell people whose scene is coming up next.
Yeah.
So you're okay, we're gonna resolve this, and then we're gonna cut to you. So like excuse me, not only should you be thinking about this, think about it now,
because
you're coming next, and if you don't have an answer, we're still going to role play it. So
yeah,
that helps move it along. Yeah.
So what about what like hobby podcasts? What do you look for other than this one? You know, clearly the best.
It is the best, man. There's not a lot of good ones these days. I think like Independent Characters was the best one.
Independent Characters fucking ruled.
It rocks so hard. And I encourage everyone who hasn't listened to it to go listen to that backlog, because it is a great, great show, and there's hours and hours of great content. But
they did a really good job of like kind of, you could kind of pick and choose, sort of like
they had clear. They were a very structured podcast.
Yeah, this is what I'm interested in. I'll maybe skip this episode or maybe like jump into it. Yeah, they did a good job.
But I haven't like, I think that's like part of the reason why I wanted to do this with you is because like I don't listen to any hobby podcasts anymore. Like I don't listen to anything.
Well, I mean, like you turned me on to Dungeon Punks, but I guess like they update so infrequently.
Yeah, they update so infrequently that like
it almost doesn't count. Yeah. Like it's like saying that you listen to Hardcore History. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Once every 9 months.
Yeah, totally. Like, but yeah, there's not like so. Oh, dude, I think it's kind of a podcast. It's a YouTube channel, but you know this dude, Oculus Imperia.
Nope.
Dude, shout out to my fucking boy who I've never met, but. He does a in-universe lore series of lore videos, and it is incredible. Cause like
so on like specifically 40K lore or 40K. Like okay,
40K. Yeah, he does some Age of Sigmar stuff too. So like he plays a character who's like a remembrancer or whatever.
Yeah,
I think that's the term. Who is like recounting things as if he's like logging them for the records of. Bobby G. and so like they're great lore videos of like exhaustive, really well written and engaging, but this character of like the remembrancer has arcs going on in the background. Things happen to him. There's a little, like radio play episodes he does with other
people. Cool.
It's the best 40K content I've engaged with in forever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Highly recommend.
That sounds great. Sick.
It's a perfect painting podcast. Again, it's on YouTube. It's not like a podcast, but it's effectively the same thing.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you listen to anything?
I mean, like, I've been enjoying the Dungeon Punk stuff. Like, that shit's funny because like when you sent it to me, like all of the episodes were titled like Battle for Middle Earth Part 5.
It's like a sub, they have like a sub podcast in there, right?
I don't, like, I was just like, oh, I gotta go back and listen to Part 1. And they spent the entire time just fucking like dicking around talking about Thousand Suns models, which is like sick. I thoroughly enjoyed myself, but like, I was trying to figure out if they do any like live, like, because the way they sell it is kind of like live play D&D or like live play, like, RPG kind of shit, like just from the episode titles and the episode descriptions. And then I was listening to it and I was like, they don't do any of that, which is fine.
I love that shit, man. They just like don't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck at all. They're great. Yeah. That is a really, really good one. And that's kind of like, I think we had kind of talked about like the genesis of just like a couple of punks like talking about nerd shit is like what we wanted this to be.
Yeah.
With maybe a little bit more of like a
structure,
yeah, like overarching critical eye. You know, you tell me if we're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Most of like the hobby podcasts and shit that I listen to is like, I'll kind of like jump back and forth between a few different like D&D live play kind of shit. I've
never been able to listen to a D&D live play.
I don't know. It's a very specific thing, and it also very much does lean into what we were talking about before of like the Disney Marvelification of Dungeons and Dragons culturally.
So
I get that it's a thing that like sometimes can be kind of a turnoff, but like you find one or two good ones, and like I don't know, like right now I'm listening to Dungeons and Daddies, which is like,
yeah, you've talked about this for like years.
I only started listening to this about like a couple of months ago.
No way.
Yeah.
Why have I had this name in my head for, it seems like,
I don't know,
since like 2012?
They only have like 60 episodes. Like, okay. They definitely have only been doing this since then, like, yeah, basically since the pandemic started.
Okay.
But that's like kind of what I was referencing earlier of like a bunch of like improv comedians doing D&D together and like,
yeah,
treating it like, as what it is like, this is inherently kind of silly.
Big, like the wildly successful one,
The Adventure Zone. Or no, Critical Role.
Critical Role, yeah.
I tried Critical Role. I couldn't get into it.
Well, it's not for me either.
Again, like, because it was a YouTube thing, and I couldn't take it with me. I couldn't, yeah, like,
I watched,
you know?
I checked it out just because it was, like, you know, this massively popular D&D thing.
The episode that they do with Vin Diesel kicks ass, though.
I've never seen that.
That rocks. I didn't
know they had an episode with Vin Diesel. Anyway, but it's, like, very clearly, like, it's not entertaining to me in the slightest, but, like, I was like, oh, like, I can see why it would be for someone.
Yeah.
Because like they're just doing a performance. Like they're always on.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like just playing D&D like, oh, should I oh no, it's that. They're like always doing voices. They're always like playing their characters as if it's a role, because they're all actors, right?
Yeah. They're like voice actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, but I honestly, like last night I did try to watch a D&D live thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a stream, whatever. Like,
who was it? Talk some shit. Name names.
It was like, it was a guy, a content creator that I really like named Matt Colville, who does like really great, like just talking about DMing videos.
Okay, cool.
Like that are, I would highly recommend them. But it's like his campaign, and I was like, bro, this is boring. Like, and it's not that he or their party is boring, just the medium does not fucking click with me.
Right.
It is just, It is watching somebody. It's the same as if I was watching somebody play Monopoly.
Like, well, that's again, what it again, looks it's the thing like. Where it's like the, like, you know, it is kind of the same as like like watching someone else do the thing that you would want to be doing, or listening to someone recount, yeah, their like tabletop adventure that you weren't there for. So it's like there is always going to be an element of like an inside joke that you are on the outside of.
Yeah, but I think that's part of like why people like it, because it's like they get to be in on the inside joke.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It bridges the gap for some people. It maybe doesn't for others.
I get if you like really, if you can't play D&D, maybe you would watch, but it's different than like a battle report, because like a battle report is a game, like it's
totally,
it's like watching it's a competition, right? Like you're seeing, like there's stakes to it, someone's gonna win, someone's gonna lose, but like it's very difficult, and like we talked about this at length before, it's very difficult to perch one to tell an engaging story in a role-playing game at all.
Yeah.
And then on top, which is why I think people really shouldn't try to do it at all. Like, you shouldn't try to tell a story in your D&D game. And then two, to tell a story that's not only engaging to the people who are playing the game, but to somebody watching.
Yeah.
Is like, you're probably not going to be able to do that.
Well, that's okay. So that's like kind of a thing where it's like the specific subset of like D&D live play podcasts that I really like are the ones that are not trying to tell a great story, and like kind of like in some cases will stumble into being a great story. Like they'll fall into that accidentally, which is like the best way to play D&D, but are like generally the ones where like it's like people who are just like generally kind of funny and entertaining to listen to have like a background in like podcasting or like that kind of
The D&D is like a vessel to hang out with these people and on a podcast
level, and so right? that's kind of like the I'm enjoying Dungeons and Daddies right now because it's like the conceit for that one is that it's like
their dad, right?
All of the players are just like
you've been talking about this for years. I know what the conceit is.
Again, this is a different fucking thing. They're all just like normal. They're like middle-aged dads who get transported to Phandalin and have to like figure out, and they're just like, you know, like
yeah, that's a nice little
it's a twist. A twist. The one that you're thinking of is the like the first season of the Adventure Zone where it's like three dudes who do podcasting and their dad playing D&D together. I think
you've been talking about it for years
because a dad is involved.
Yes,
because
that is exactly right. Yeah,
and that's such a great example of what you're talking about, where like the first season of that show was it started with them just doing a bunch of dick and fart jokes playing D&D together.
Yeah,
and through doing that, they managed to tell what I thought was like a pretty compelling story by the end. Like they did a really really good job of like that sort of like what happens when you play D&D where like you are completely like fumbling your way through the session, and then the half hour debrief after you finish when you're just having a beer and a slice of pizza and you're talking about, wasn't it cool when this happened?
Yes.
And you sort of like reconstruct the myth of your session.
There's two different parts to role playing. There's the game and then there's the story, and the story happens after the game.
And so that was a thing that I thought the first season of the Adventure Zone was like super funny and entertaining while it was happening. And as it progressed, they sort of like, you know, like back catalog to like, oh, actually this big story has been happening the whole time.
Yeah, shit sucks, man.
And then but like the recent seasons that they've been doing where they've like tried playing a couple of different types of like they've been branching out and playing different styles of games, like it hasn't all been D&D, but they've like clearly come in from jump being like, here is the super important thing that's going to happen, and it became completely unlistenable.
Yeah,
like it was fucking garbage.
Yeah. Dude, just write a book.
Yeah.
Fucking what?
But yeah, other than that, I feel like there is kind of like a for how big like hobby internet community in terms of like Instagram or Reddit or fucking forums or whatever is, there does seem to be like this kind of like whole of like listening content, of like audio content, of like people creating things to engage with,
which is great because you can, I mean, for D&D it's different, but like for minis, because you can engage with it while you're fucking painting, which is huge. Like painting content,
love that shit,
is so nice.
You gotta have some good shit going on while you're painting, you know.
Yeah, I do say I you know, now that I'm new again to 40K, I have no idea what's happening in battle reports. I love Tabletop Tactics, but I'm like, yeah, let's go, new video, and I watch like 15 minutes of it, and I'm like, all the minis look so good, and I love these guys and girls, but like, oh my god, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, because it used to be like, you know, the language of play was like movement, dice rolls, hitting on stuff.
Yeah.
And now the language of play is like powers that I don't know what they do.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
they're
yeah.
like, I used Wrath of the Emperor. You know what that means, and I'm like, I don't know.
What the fuck?
And like,
well, yeah. I've just scored.
I can't follow.
I've just scored 17 points on engage on all fronts, and I'm like, how? What?
The fuck is a front?
Yeah. That's like, I think that's more of like an us thing.
Oh, 100%. Which is a pity because I love a battle report. It's funny. I like. Fun it is to watch a battle report when they're engaging.
Yeah, totally.
Speaking of internet content, we were talking about this in the Hogtown group a few weeks ago, but like, have you ever watched Little Wars TV?
Nope.
Dude, it is the best wargaming content on the internet at all.
Okay.
It's a historical group in like Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And they do these great short, like 15-minute battle reports that are almost completely rules null, unless the rule...
Like they're going strictly narrative battle reports.
Strictly narrative, and they're like, you know, oh, this player as this general made the decision to push on this flank, and he broke the enemy lines, and so you're following the flow of battle, and they only bring up the rules if like a important dice rolls coming up so that you can follow why the stakes, why everyone's like going, oh, they're like in the, in this rules, like people have to do this and this and this. So that this, this dice roll is important for that reason. Then you get to like, and it's, you know, short, immaculate tables, immaculate miniatures.
That's great.
And yeah, it's fucking great.
Someone, my boss actually, who is like nerd adjacent, recommended, 40K in 40 minutes.
You talked about this. I haven't watched it, but
to me, which sounds kind of similar, where they'll take like a 2,000 point game and just do like a 40 minute battle report of it, where they kind of like gloss over like, here's what happened in the turn without like sort of the minutia of like stratagems and dice rolls and like that kind of shit. Which
is like, that's like, what the, that's why the white, the classic like 90s white dwarf battle reports were so cool, because like, and I think this is, I would also, I agree with your point from earlier. I would love to see someone be able to deliver this on the internet in like a consumable way of like, it's like half in universe, half not.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, the frothing beast men like make their advance move up the hill and like, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you you, what's interesting is the flow of battle and the story that the dice make happen for you and that you infer, rather than this unit is doing this game action. Let me roll all the five. Like, I don't really care about that. I think it's a very like competitive, it's a very 40K way of thinking about a battle report. Is like, what moves were made? How can I like learn from this battle report to be better at the game?
Yeah.
That
kind
of bullshit. Not as cool as doing it in a more freeform thing.
Yeah.
But I would also like, man, I love to like when people do retrospectives on their campaigns. Cause like, I just, campaigns are so interesting to me, and I've only made one half work.
Yeah.
Except for like the Heresy one that I did like the day in, with my buddy Chaz back in the day years ago with the Hogtown group, like one day campaign kind of thing. But they're like I think that like playing a campaign in a war game is the equivalent of playing a campaign in, like a game is like a one shot, in an RPG,
sure,
and a campaign is like a campaign, I want to make that happen so bad. Difficult because of the pandemic, but I, that's my supreme hobby goal.
Okay,
yeah,
that's sick. Should hobby progress? Do we have any other?
Are we at an hour?
We're at 52. Shit, yeah,
dude, that flew by.
Yeah.
That's great, because I got to use the bathroom real bad. Hobby progress. So I am, again, with the Warmaster.
Warmaster. Dude, oh, man. You guys have been fucking going ham on the Warmaster. It's
small
sick.
Penis chillers only.
They're so... Oh, man. Connor sent me that picture of like a bunch of spearmen next to a quarter, and I almost broke my phone.
It's amazing, dude. So I'm on my knights. The first time I'm doing cavalry... Actually, ever. I've never painted a horse in my life until now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm doing, so I'm doing the knights. Every one of the horse, I don't know what, there's got to be a term for this. Like, you know, like the dresses horses wear?
Dressage?
Is that the name for it?
I don't think so.
Dressage.
That's, know, like, that's a term that people use about horses.
Right. You know, like,
but I don't know.
You know, you see like a knight jousting and it's, the horse has like a gown on.
Sure.
Like a little eye holes cut out.
Yeah.
So
my parents aren't rich like enough armored. For me to know anything about horses.
Me neither. That's why I'm asking you about the fucking terms. So I'm doing all of the horse dresses, different colors, like yellow.
Yeah, real medieval times vibe going.
Yes, man. And then all the shields, different colors than that.
Oh.
And I'm trying to. I might freehand some heraldry on them.
Hell yeah. Freehanding on fucking 10 millimeter? Yeah, get out of here.
So small.
But get out of here.
It's actually easier because you only need to like suggest the idea of a shape rather than actually do the shape.
Okay.
Life hacking, baby. And so I'm going to do those. I also built an immolator for my sisters of battle. Not, I only have one sister in real life. And I built a test model for my the resurrection of my homebrew chapter, Space Marines.
Yeah.
Savage, psycho, freak, like rogue trader modernized thing.
Nice.
Only old pig-faced helmets.
Yep.
Only Primaris bodies, Heresy bolters, short little bolters. The bolt rifle's too big. And a bunch of skulls and spikes and shit. I want them to like kind of look like Chaos Marines, but loyalists.
That's sick.
Tight. Yeah.
That rules.
How about you?
I got in another game of Ninth, which was fucking awesome.
What was that, when we played at Balls?
When we did our Secret Santa exchange, and that was dope.
Secret Santa was dope too.
Secret Santa was great. You're gonna be listening to this in March. which was sick, because like I had a lot of like the learning curve for Ninth we've talked about is like crazy. And so this game, like, I think I completely tabled my opponent with a very non-optimized, like, Tyranid list, showing that you can have fun without, you know, yeah, like, you can still be, like, successful and keep a game going. And we ended up tying on points, like I think it was, like, 45 to 45.
You guys were both having a blast.
It was great. Yeah. It was super fun. That really got me stoked. I've still been like plugging away painting those Gloomhaven minis.
Oh, nice.
And then I think my hobby goal is that I want to get going on now that Simon has the 3D printer up and running. Oh my god,
yeah, dude, he printed me something. It was the most fun I've had in a long time. It was insane.
Just watching something get printed for like 7 hours.
Dude, yeah, we're just like drinking beers and like fucking talking while a mini gets made from nothing for me. Fucking insane.
I need him to print a bunch of rippers for me so I can build my like I have a Trigon that I want to build for my Tyranids, and the base I want to have like the tunnel that he came out of with like a bunch of rippers swarming out of it, and like a guard. Yes. I'm gonna do the Starship Troopers guardsmen like shooting down into the hole.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's my
you know what to do.
My goal is to like get pieces in motion for that base and like start working on that.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah. Yeah. What your hobby goal for next time?
I need to build. So I'm gonna finish my knights. Almost there. And then I gotta build a rhino for the sisters after.
Nice.
Because I got 1,200 points in box, and I need to make it a reality.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also hobby progress. Like I've done a couple of sessions of Fifth Ed recently, and we got Daggerheart going.
We got Daggerheart going, and it's going. It went well. Like
it went very well. Fucking so Daggerheart, for anyone listening, is like we're doing a kind of like very heavily homebrewed modification to the Worlds Without Number RPG system.
Yeah.
And that has been a roaring success.
Yeah, it's like a low fantasy, dark fairy tale gothic kind of mishmash of shit where like it's magic is hyper deadly and strange.
The Witch.
Very The Witch, yeah. It's like The Witch in like 13th century Europe analog. Really bloody, really, really deadly, hyper lethal. We just went through the character funnel, which was a huge success.
Gruesome.
And now we're getting into the hex crawl part of it, which I'm super excited about. I've been spending a lot of time detailing out different hexes, building charts, doing all that front work so that like when I'm DMing, I can like free flow. And that's the next phase, and we're really getting into it. And then, yeah, we'll see how she goes.
Yeah. We're playing this coming Friday, which means by the time this episode comes out, all of our player characters will have died.
Yeah. one of the three. So you got two, you went in with three guys.
I went in with three guys.
Tell the listeners how two of them.
The first one was a beggar who was beaten to death in the town before the adventure even started. I don't even remember how the second one died. Did he fall down a?
He fell down the cliff, right?
He fell down the cliff and died.
Yeah, he slipped on the making a descent in a dungeon, and his femurs went through his skin
like a trombone.
Yeah,
that was great.
That was the bard character. That was that Simon's character's son.
Yeah. he always wanted to be a bard, and then his legs turned into trombones, so be careful what you wish for, folks.
That was great fun, man.
I think that does it for like this episode. Yeah, we're at an hour. We got
an hour now. Sweet.
This has been cocked.
Bye.
Oh, we were going to do...
Oh, we have an outro?
Well, like, I want... We got to do our plugs for our cool hobby Instagrams that we just talked so much about.
Yeah. At Dorn2RaiseHell with the number 2 in the middle. Dorn2RaiseHell.
I'm at Bugs I Hate Bugs if you want to see some cool Tyranids. I also do a wrestling podcast. You can listen to that. It's Stone Cold Shots. It fucking rules. We will hit you up for more hobby shit.
See you soon.
In a couple of weeks.
Fuckers.